Welcome back to another episode of Unscripted, the go-to podcast for those flipping the script and taking the unexpected path. I'm your host, Jessica Bergio, holistic life and business coach, author, speaker, and self-proclaimed high-energy hype girl. Each week, I'm bringing you inside. No gatekeeping here. I'll touch on proven holistic business strategies, powerful mindset shifts that have led my clients through massive transformations, and no BS conversation with industry leaders designed to help you get out of your own way to actively pursue a life of purpose. If you're ready to ditch the limitations at the door, hit follow and get ready to be activated to step boldly towards your big goals. Now let's dive in. Welcome back to Unscripted, the podcast. I'm excited for today's guest because we definitely share a love of taking care of ourselves and making sure that your health and your nutrition and all of that is put front and center, not on the back burner. I honestly, as you guys know, share about my health, my wellness, my nutrition journey all the time on social media. It is something I'm uber passionate about, and it's why I feel like I have the sustainability in my business that I do. And we're going to share with you why this is so important, especially as an early stage entrepreneur or someone who is looking to grow and scale their business. We have somebody here who has done all of that and then some, and who now teaches this, not just to regular folks like us, but to really high level advanced other clinicians who are looking to really get a better understanding, probably even for themselves, but their clients as well, of how they can take care of themselves. So Andrea, I am so excited to dive in today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jess. I'm so honored to be here with you.
I was telling her before we hit record that I was geeking out on some past episodes because I do love hearing about the things you talk about at the high level. And I know a lot of your podcast, The 15-Minute Matrix, talks to specifically clinicians. Yes. And so I was like trying to understand some of the things that you were sharing and then the people you were having as interviewed. You're like, that's for clinicians. And I was like, Great, let's break down some of these theories and ideas for the rest of us who we want to know, but we don't need to know all the details. We want to know how to optimize ourselves. As people in the entrepreneurship space, we don't always manage stress correctly. We don't always manage putting our nutrition first and foremost or movement. How are some ways that as you've grown as an entrepreneur, been able to support yourself alongside your clients? What are your daily habits or routines or non-negotiables? Because that's one of the things I love to start with, because I do think it's a foundational piece of how you've been able to be so successful.
Yeah. And there's so much in there. Having been an entrepreneur, and I call myself an accidental entrepreneur, I didn't think I was going where my business has taken me and where the opportunities have taken me. But there's so much to learn in that journey. And it's been a 20-year journey for me. So much that I can unpack in there that I also had to learn. So I can really relate to where the stressors and the pressures, especially if we are parents at the same time, can really stack up and keep us from being our best selves. However, if we're not taking care of ourselves, we cannot take care of the business growth. We can't take care of our relationships. We can't take care of our children if we're not taking care of ourselves. So it needs to be at the forefront. And from a functional medicine nutrition perspective, I've created a lot of systems that help us to break it down, because sometimes when we're trying to self-care, we go for the extremes. We can't uphold those extremes, and then we ditch them all together. And I think that's really a problematic way of looking at things that often shows up in our businesses as well. We have these big ideas, these big goals, and if we can't make them, we decide we're a failure instead of taking the incremental steps up the mountain.
I could not have said that better myself. And I think people listening are probably nodding along just like I am, thinking, yep, I've done that time and time again. And I believe it's why at times people poo-poo on like yearly goals or resolutions, if you will, because most of us think we need to choose some big extreme like self-care goal or business goal. And then it's the reason why most people quote unquote fail or stop trying at like month two in the year and really go back to whatever it was they were doing before. Whereas if we take little bite-sized changes, it's a lot more easy to implement. And that's why the little things like I do with drinking enough water, making sure I take my vitamins, going for the walks. Trust me, the majority of us would rather not have to do the work, right?
Absolutely. And my boyfriend is always joking because he's been working out for 30 years. And he's like, I wish I liked it. And he works out every day. But he's like, I wish I was one of those people who loved it. I don't like it, but he sees the benefits and he knows the long-term benefit. And the analogy I want us to anchor on here is one I love to share because we didn't tell my story, but I am widowed and I've been with my current partner. I'm widowed almost 22 years. I've been with my partner for 6. And he was a climber. And so he's very obsessed with mountains. And I've watched every Everest video, documentary, YouTube, fiction, every Everest film or documentary there is. And at first I was like, I don't care. I'm not a climber. But then I realized the analogy. First of all, the human stories of triumph are really moving. Yeah. And then the analogy of summiting a mountain is exactly what we're doing in business and what we're doing in our health. Yeah. So if you recognize that nobody is summiting Mount Everest in a day, first of all, they're training for at least a year. Then it takes at least 2 weeks to get to base camp and not everybody can make it. And then you have to acclimate, stay at base camp, see if you can go up to the next base camp. You may stay there. You come back down to acclimate. You go back up. And so for me, that analogy of what it actually takes to move forward helps us to understand that the road from A to B is never a straight line. There are going to be ups and downs, but we're going to narrow our level of excellence and understand more about ourselves each time we keep going. So for me, it applies to both areas, business and self-help, that we just have to keep on trying and take smaller steps to get to whatever we've defined as the top.
I love that. And I love that even as high level as you coach and teach too, that that's simplicity still. And that reminder, it just brings us all on the same playing field. And I love that he's kind of like me. I do like my time at the gym, but I still wish I didn't always have to do it. And so I totally relate to that as a former competitive bodybuilder. There are certain ways. It's almost like that was my Mount Everest, right? Getting on that stage and taking my body to the next level. But thank you for bringing up the topic too that I wanted to touch on. And you did, you lost your husband young to a brain tumor.
Yes.
And you share that you discovered that passion for using food as a personalized medicine. But I think so many people want to overcomplicate the simplicity of what you're teaching and what you're doing. And now you get to speak to well-renowned doctors and get to share your insight on all of that. So take us through, because what's interesting for where I'm coaching to right now and a lot of people who listen to this podcast is they're in some sort of a pivot.
Yes.
Something has altered the course of what they've got going on, and whether it was something traumatic like this or whether it was a personal, or maybe they just finally woke up from living in a season of their life that they didn't create or design on their own, they're changing and they're moving through different things. So something like this happened and it took you down a different path. So talk to me about how that shift happened for you, because it was a while ago, but now it's changed the whole trajectory of your life and what you do.
Yes. And I just have to say, it keeps changing. I'm 57 and I'm pivoting. Like, the work keeps evolving, and that's what makes us human. So don't be afraid of change. Change is going to feel hard, and also it brings with it opportunities. That change, of course, was unexpected, and I would reverse and go back in a heartbeat. My late husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor, as you said, a glioblastoma multiforme. That's a very aggressive brain tumor, when I was just 7 weeks pregnant. And so this is back in April of 2000, so a long time ago now. He was only given 6 months to live, so they didn't expect him to see our child born. He lived 2.5 years. I really put a lot of time and energy into our diet and lifestyle. That was where I felt like I could contribute, not without his buy-in. So a lot of people want to do nutrition to people, and I really relate that to this notion of consent. Like, the person has to be in change with you. You can't impose it on them. But he wanted to live. He wanted to be a father. He was at the brink of a new beginning in his life. So for me, it was like the boot camp of taking something that was a side passion for me, food and cooking, into, wait a minute, where are there connections between sugars and tumor growth, between antioxidants that we can get from our colors and reducing inflammation that's coming as a result of the treatments? So it wasn't my job, so to speak, to say like, oh, I'm going to tackle his brain tumor, a medical condition, with diet and lifestyle modification. I have never been that delusional. And I have to train a lot of the people I teach. That is not our job. We are the yes and. We are shifting the terrain in which that medical condition exists. And by doing so, we do have an influence. So Isamu, my late husband, lived 2.5 years beyond the 6 months that he was given, did get to have some imprinting time with our son, who's now 23 and graduated from college and living across the country from me. So lots happened during that time that woke me up to a lot of possibilities of what could be done for his body, my late husband's body, for my own body. I was pregnant. For our baby, we changed our diet while I was pregnant, and he was the biggest baby born in either of our families, like shocking big baby, even though my diet had changed considerably while I was pregnant. So a lot of pivoting there, and it woke me up to a lot of the gaps in medicine that I wanted to fill, not replace, but fill. And the passion that I had for being able to sit with people in these times of crises in their lives.
Yeah. I just literally got off a coaching call before I got on this podcast with you, and she's going through some challenging things in this season. And it's something that she will be able to help her future clients with. It'll be the book that changes the lives of future people to come.
Yes.
And we're literally in that real time. I just got the chill. Talking and walking through that as the path that God chose for you, if you so believe that, and you now have stepped into this place where you're able to help encourage and nurture so many people, just give them hope and actually curate a path of, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. Let's give this a go. And I think just even those slivers of hope, whether they last 2 or 3 years, like it's probably why he was able to be around for a couple of more years because of the changes that you made and
Absolutely.
The efforts that you guys put in. And so much of my heart is exploding just hearing that story. Obviously, you feel for everything that you guys went through and your son. And as a mom of a 12-year-old, I could only imagine. But
yeah.
You're someone who took something unfortunate and really traumatic and turned it into such a beautiful way to give back and help other people. From your experience with your husband and throughout your research, you noticed that there were these gaps that you mentioned in functional medicine. And they're leaving people with chronic illnesses that people want to call ADHD, call depression and anxiety. And again, please, if you listen to this podcast, you know I'm very unfiltered and unscripted. So if you take offense to anything I'm saying, know that this is my opinion, not hers. But we are in this chaotic, overwhelmed, chronic stress, constantly being bombarded by all of this other bullshit. You see these gaps. They're definitely correlated to certain things. What's the framework that you mentioned before? And how did you begin to develop and address these certain things? Because for one, it was the husband, right? And then it was
yes.
your own particular. You saw changes within yourself. You had this
yes.
big, beautiful, healthy baby. But let's speak to the other things that are going on and these other gaps that you can see, the chronic illness that's happening, that people just want to put a pill or they want to label it something.
Yes. And there's so much to unpack in there. And when we talk about, like you were saying, what's more simple? And I always say it's the simplicity on the other side of complexity. I understand the body's physiological and biological underpinnings. I get it. And yet still, we need to think about some of the building blocks that get us to feeling better. So we do live in a culture that is a pill for the ill. That does not work in a chronic health situation. So when I say chronic, to break that down, I mean you're sick and you're not getting better. You've tried things. You're taking the supplements. You're watching the Instagrams. Somebody's telling you how to lower your cortisol or deal with your estrogen dominance or fix your depression. And it's not getting better even when you're trying those things. That's where we need to go to the foundations and really understand, where do I help my body from the ground up instead of the top down? So I call all those chronic signs, symptoms, and diagnoses. You listed some in the diagnostic realm. It could be migraines or PMS or fibromyalgia or endometriosis or whatever we are experiencing, whether it has a label or not. If it's not getting better, it is a branch. It is not the roots. And when we try to address everything at the branch level, at the fix level, quote unquote, we're missing the opportunity for sustainable results. So it will crop back up either in its original form or in another form in your body. When you go to the emergency room, you want somebody who has a quick fix. That is where a quick fix works. Our conventional medicine practices are about the protocol. You have this, I do that. And that is fine. That's what we need in certain situations. In functional medicine and functional medicine nutrition, ideally, And I'm going to say ideally, because I think a lot of people are calling themselves functional medicine practitioners who aren't practicing in keeping with the tenets of functional medicine. We're taking more time to recognize three factors that are part of my mantra. Everything is connected. We are all unique and all things matter. So everything connected, it reminds us the gut's connected to the brain. Your hormones are connected to your liver and detoxification, which are connected to your gut. The body is not a bunch of ologies. It's the soup inside of you. Everything is connected. Do not isolate your signs, symptoms, and diagnoses from each other. Start to embrace them as you, part of you. We are all unique means that we all come from different places. We've all had life experiences. I am not my diagnosis. This is what I recognized as a gap with Isamu. Medical system saw him as a glioblastoma multiforme. He wasn't a glioblastoma multiforme to me. He was Isamu Nakayama, a 32-year-old man that had all these passions and all this life to live. And so he was not just his diagnosis alone. So recognizing that our histories, pre-birth, these are epigenetics. We all are the sum of our histories. Yeah. And then all things matter. Sleep matters, poop matters, all these things. But hydration, as you said, matters. Just recognizing that it's more of a matrix than we're giving it to be when we say, I have X. What do I do? What do I take? What's the solve?
That's so good. And I hope if you're listening, you're finding yourself in those like example, because so many people attribute one symptom as being related to one specific thing, right? Oh, I have PMS. I just have PMS. It is what it is. We just deal with it. We don't think, what could I be doing to support it? Even in junior high, I remember my mom knowing that calcium was a natural pain reliever, and it was something as I was developing and growing would help me with some of those symptoms. Then we started playing around with different supplements like magnesium for sleep and to ease going to the bathroom because I wasn't eating properly or drinking enough water when I was a kid. So I had all sorts of like inside issues that luckily my mom had a little bit of knowledge on, knowing that some of these supplements could be helpful. And you probably realize not as many people grew up maybe having access to knowing these certain things. And it feels like supplements and or functional testing or some of this extra stuff is extra. Like it should be only for people who could have quote unquote afford it.
Or who need it.
Yeah. Or need it. That's true too. And there's so much hype. Like you even mentioned, there's so much hype around the testing and the labs and functional medicine. I've even gone through the path of getting so many different tests run and finding out that I had really low testosterone, even though I work out frequently. I was under the misunderstanding that if you worked out a lot, it would help build up your testosterone. And I tested at a 70-year-old's testosterone level. And so it just went to show that I didn't have the education to know what was actually happening in my body. I knew what the symptoms were and I knew what was happening, but
and I would say like context is queen, right? So we don't know if your testosterone was always low and that's your normal and you felt fine with that testosterone. So when we're just looking at a moment in time in a functional test or any test, even if we get it from our doctors, it is a snapshot of a moment in time. And unless we see the tracking information, unless we know why we're getting that test, what am I looking to do and learn from this test? So the thing I'm always telling the practitioners I train is don't get any testing until you need it more information to make different recommendations. If I can do enough in the practice with diet and lifestyle modification and get a person feeling better, I don't need to put a label on it. So then we have these labels like, I have low testosterone, the testosterone. That might be your normal, Jess, which might for your body feel supreme and not like an issue, or the issue might be something else. And we're attaching it to one marker that we've seen on one piece of paper at one point in time. And that's what worries me, that in a lot of functional, holistic, and integrative practices, we're adopting the same thinking that conventional medicine.
Totally. And you saying that makes me think this has always been the case, because really now that I'm using a cream, like a topical cream, a steroid, I don't really notice anything different. And we even upped it a little bit. And I think placebos are a real thing where we can think we're doing something different and it's producing a different result. I'll never forget when I thought for sure something was wrong with my thyroid. And I went to my doctor and she sat me down and just had a little chat with me. And luckily she must have had a more holistic approach. And She said, when's the last time you gave yourself a scalp treatment and took care of your hair? And are you drinking enough water? She's asking me all the questions. And I thought to myself, yes. How dare she? Does she not know that I'm a personal trainer as well and a hairdresser? And then I left thinking, when was the last time that you gave yourself a scalp treatment?
Exactly.
When was the last time that you took some time off and actually regulated your nervous system and drank more hydration drinks rather than as much coffee? And I was like, I think it's why my hair is falling out. It's because I'm doing it to myself.
And we think that diagnosis is going to give us the answer, right? So we're questing
yes.
in this sympathetic dominant state of looking for what's the label for what I'm experiencing instead of the pause of, wait a minute, what am I doing? What have I done for myself lately?
And am I contributing to the symptoms that I'm having, right?
Without blame, exactly. But like, where is it that I could make incremental changes that help me to start to see a difference in that thing that I don't like that's happening to me? And I have a bagazillion things to say about hormones, but we won't go there. We'll stay in the like functional medicine space of like, how do we bring nutrition into our everyday?
Yeah. And there's always a new superfood or a new diet or a
totally.
New best practice, if you will. How can we know where to focus our energy? And I know we're all so different, like you talked about
yes.
earlier, but with all the options available, someone who's listening that's like, okay, I'm having XYZ symptoms, some things I need to change. Where do I start? Who do I listen to? Vegan, not vegan. Where does the average person even start?
I know. It's so confusing. And I'm going to get super practical what we can do. But I also just want to say all of that theory that we're exposed to, like swipe left, we do not need the theories. It doesn't apply to us. So the first thing I want to ask people to do when they see or hear something and say, I'm going to do that, is to sit down and ask themselves why. My friends reach out to me all the time. There's new supplements that are
I'm
getting
sure.
like a lot of press, and they'll be like, do I need to take the blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, why do you want to take that? You're already doing something for that. Let's just step back and say, why? Is the why because it worked for Jess, or because it worked for your sister, or because that social media influencer is saying it's the best thing since like sliced grain-free bread, whatever it is, right? Like, just forget about it. Stop. Ask yourself why. When it comes to dietary theory, there's three primary principles I have. I don't like rules. I like principles. And that way we have room to live into them for ourselves. I'm not saying there isn't a place for healing diets in a healing practice. Healing diets are meant to be used for a short period of time if they are highly restrictive. We want our diets to be as diverse as possible. So number one for me is fat, fiber, protein at every meal. And that's because it's going to help our blood sugar, which is critical for so many aspects of our health. So fat, fiber, protein, I'm not asking you to measure. If you don't know what good fats are or what sources of protein work for you, that's where you can do a little digging into what's a good fat. What does she mean by fat? Is this good fat? Is that? Stay there, because a lot of times people are adopting diets that don't bring in the healing and healthful foods. So fat, fiber, protein, every meal, have some fun with it. Where do I bring in a nut? Oh my gosh, that gives me protein and fat. Awesome, right? Like, where do I bring in more veggies? That gives me fiber. Speaking of fiber, principle number two is eat the rainbow. And again, have some fun with it. What colors did you eat today? I notice like certain times a year, I don't get blue. Other times a year, I do get blue. That gives us a lot of nutrients that we need that we don't need to be thinking about through supplements. So fat, fiber, protein, eat the rainbow. My third principle is very individualized, and that's know your yes, no, maybe list. So sit down, and if you know there are foods that don't work for you, put them in the no column. If you know there's foods that make you feel so happy, I don't care whether you think they're quote unquote good or bad, but your morning coffee gives you so much joy, put that in the yes food and make sure you note why. And then if you're not sure, sometimes I eat this like cheese and I feel okay. Other times I eat it, it doesn't make me feel good. Put it in the maybe column. That way, when you're going for help, you have a lot more information about yourself to bring forward. You are the expert in every single health encounter you have. because that person knows nothing about you. They may know about what you're going to them for, but only you know about you. And the more you show up being able to express your you, the better help you're going to get. So fat fiber protein, eat the rainbow, know your yes, no, maybe list. That's the beginning steps to be thinking about food and allows us to think through another area I think of, like quality, quantity, diversity, and timing. Again, that's all very individual.
Totally. And thank you for pointing that out, that there isn't a one size fits all. I think they give so many people permission to try different things on for size. And again, we all know our bodies. You can think of 3 to 5 things right now that will upset your stomach, and you probably still eat them. I did not learn that I had an aversion to dairy until I was about 36 years old. And it was why I had chronic cystic acne that would come out of nowhere. I thought it was exactly. Almonds. I thought it was the protein shake. I learned that it was the whey and the protein shakes. And from time to time, I already didn't really have much dairy, I thought, in my life. But I'm Italian. I would put Parmesan in everything. It's in almost all processed foods. So I can toy with it now and have some processed foods where it doesn't bother me. I found certain cheeses that don't make me break out. Yep. But from time to time, at least I know why now. If I'm going to indulge in the cheese, I may be a little bit rashy in the morning. I may have some inflammation in my body. It is what it is. At least I know where it's coming from. I never knew what was going on inside internally, while other people think maybe it's just a stomach thing. I'm like, nope, never bothered my stomach. It was a skin issue and I couldn't figure out what it was. And like you said, the newest, latest, and greatest supplement might work for somebody else, but asking yourself why you're taking something or why you want to take something or a test. I remember that specific doctor saying, you don't want something to be wrong with your thyroid. If we put you on a medication, that means you're going to have to be on it for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And so I remember being in a season where I was partially disappointed because I was like, won't the pill just help me like have my hair thicker and lose some weight? Yes. I wanted the easy button. And I get,
yes.
Let's just call that what it is. Like we said at the beginning of the podcast, we want things to be easier.
Yes.
But if you just stick to the fat, fiber, and protein like she talked about, it will be simpler. If you stop giving yourself so many options and opportunities to make yourself feel like shit and your body have symptoms that you can't explain, it's generally what you're putting in your mouth. It's generally what you're exposing yourself to externally through stresses and different like pollutants that are around us. Those are things you can usually, for the most part, control.
Yes.
And so even raising a 12-year-old who has access down to like free lunch at school, I'm like, what did right. you eat today? And we talk about all sorts of things, and I love that we can have conversations around what protein, yeah. fat, fiber, carb are, because I didn't know what they were. I don't even think right. I knew what protein was until I was like 18. And someone asked me if I'd eaten protein for breakfast. And I said, well, I had a bagel, and he laughed. And I said, what's so funny? He says, those are carbs. Right. And so then I got further into bodybuilding and learning about how food affects the body and how you can specifically train for things. And there is a method to it. And so if anybody's yes. listening, wondering how to take themselves to the next level, digging into your nutrition and paying attention to your body's responses around things can be the catalyst to massive change and could be the thing that's going to take you to the next level. It's probably not the newest, latest, and greatest strategy that you need to implement in your business. It's probably getting your mind and your body right so that yes. you feel optimized every day so you could show up in the highest energy, attracting the things you want. You are like such a light. You give so much to your community. You have a podcast. You're the host of the 15 Minute Matrix podcast. Talk to me about podcasting, because people who listen to this show, let's take this kind of on the left for a second, know how much I love podcasting. I started this during COVID when I was still speaking to the beauty industry. How has having a podcast elevated your brand and helped you meet more people and network? I'm always so curious about other podcasters and what that's been like for you.
I'm going to call it an audiophile, but I know that means more about the actual technical side. But I love audio as a means of communication. I think we are storytellers. I think we have the opportunity to like drop into listening in a way that is really rich. I'm always listening to podcasts, often more storytelling podcasts. I find it really feeds a part of my soul. So for me, doing the podcast and having a kind of system that I was working into with the matrix, which I created, and the whole podcast fit into the matrix. So yeah. we're mapping a topic. I just loved the opportunity to sit with people, get deep into a topic, explore something and get out and give people those little nuggets of inspiration as you are doing so beautifully, Jess. So podcasting for me is a passion. I'm no longer producing the podcast, but I would pick it up If I had to start my career all over again, I'd be a podcast host. That might be a season transition that I go through where I'm just doing podcasting. And my entire curriculum, my 10-month curriculum, is primarily audio teaching. So I'm a real stickler for and very passionate about the transformation that can happen through audio storytelling.
I love that. And you heard it first. She might be only podcasting. So you never know. But one last question. If someone was interested and they're like, oh my gosh, I want to learn from her. This seems like something I'm somewhat interested in. Maybe this can be a leg of my business. How do people get into this industry and start helping people in this way? Because there is a part of me that feels like it would add so much value to the way that I coach as far as being a completely holistic coach in order to really have the education and the background behind this. I'm asking for myself. So just by the way.
You would love the program. So the Functional Nutrition Alliance is the company I founded in 2009. It's grown into, like I said, I couldn't have anticipated, but I now train thousands of practitioners, I think 8,000 in over 68 countries now. And they all come from different backgrounds and they're people who want to understand more individualized nutrition in whatever they do. So they may have no healthcare background at all, but been on a journey themselves and want to add that to what they're offering. They may be fitness coaches, health coaches, nutrition coaches. We also have a lot of nurses who are leaving careers and wanting to do more on their own or even incorporating it into what they do. We have acupuncturists and a lot of dental practitioners and dietitians and doctors and chiropractors and PTs and OTs. There's just people who are saying, I want more of this and this systems thinking in my practice. And that's what's so exciting for me because I can't touch all the people that my graduates can touch, whether it's their niche and who they work with or in the part of the world they're in or in the realm they actually use it, whether they're massage therapists. Again, like people are taking the systems that I've created and putting them to practice in their ways. And that's what's so exciting for me, that it's like that ripple effect.
I could see even hairdressers and like you talk about my massage friends, my friends that
do have a lot of hair people, actually.
Breath work.
Estheticians. We have a lot of like skin and hair people who are like recognizing those connections.
My esthetician just the other day when she was doing my facial specifically said that she wanted to learn how to do stuff, treat more from the inside to the outside. And she's like, I can only help people so much on the outside versus the inside. And I was so encouraging of her. I was like, you really should do that. How ironic. I'm going to see her actually next week. So I will send her your information too. Kimmy, shout out to you. This is for you. And thank you so much for sharing all of your insight. Thank you for the work that you do and really helping spread the education awareness and bringing on the incredible guests that you have. I really enjoy your podcast as well. You guys, if you want to learn more, just click below in the show notes. Go follow her on Instagram. And if you love this podcast episode, you know what to do. We'd love to hear back from you. If you had any aha takeaway moments, share it on social with your friends. Send it to somebody who might need a little nudge in taking more accountability, maybe for their own personal wellness. If this is what you needed to hear, I'm so grateful that you're here and you're tuning into the Unscripted podcast. And we'll see you guys on the next episode of Unscripted.